Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 8th of April. Welcome to Viewpoint Talk Radio. It's a current affairs show with an invited guest where we discuss the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours. If you wish to get involved with this morning's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I'm joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo. Let's have a look at the front pages. Okay, the front pages of the UK this morning. Several papers lead on the baby who's become the first woman in Britain to be born from a transplanted womb. Gift of life is the Daily Mirror's headline, as it pictures the mother, Grace Davidson, smiling alongside her sister who donated her womb. In an interview with the Daily Mail, Grace describes having her first period 2 weeks after the transplant and crying with her husband at the positive pregnancy test. For the Daily Express, it's a great testimony for NHS work that will bring hope to women. In other domestic news, The Sun reports on Manchester City star Jack Grealish, who was allegedly slapped in the face by a Man U fan at Old Trafford. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the Financial Times, it's perhaps some more serious news, is Donald Trump's threat to hike duties on Chinese imports in an escalation of the trade war that's triggered mounting fears of a recession. For the Daily Telegraph, it quotes Trump in its headline, "Don't be a panican." The president says the term refers to a new party based on weak and stupid people. As the paper reports, there's an apparent reference to Republicans panicking about the US economy. The Times says there's a split in the White House between those who see the measures as part of a long-term reorientation of the US economy and others who want them to be a negotiating tool for cutting trade deals. The Daily Star recalls that the Liz Truss mini-budget by mucking up Trump as a lettuce on its front page. Finally, the main editorial in The Guardian says the new economic era will require strategic boldness from a habitually cautious prime minister. So those headlines from the top today, top of my paper pile on this Tuesday, the 8th of April, is the following. The iPaper, billions wiped off pensions amid worldwide stock market turmoil. Oh, shock market indeed. Financial Times, Trump's issues new China tariff threat. The Metro, Trump's quote-unquote medicine helps the world economy goes down. Yes, indeed, a Mary Poppins reference. The Guardian, Trump threatens extra 50% tariff on China as panic grips markets. The Daily Telegraph, Trump, don't be a panican. Meanwhile, Daily Mail, baby born after womb transplant in UK first. The Mirror, donor sister's amazing act, baby born after UK's first womb transplant, gift of life. Express, they're going with the womb news, first baby born in UK womb transplant mother. The Times, No pause in tariffs, vows Trump as stocks sink. The Sun, Grealish slapped in face by United fan. And finally, the Daily Star. Man babies doing even more than iceberg Liz to sink world economy. Is Trump the new lettuce? And also one in the Times as well saying, who needs a husband? A pet will make you just as happy. So we have the poll running on the Facebook page, which is Talk Radio Europe Official. Go to that and please vote on our Facebook page. Because what I am asking today in today's, I won't call it the poll of polls, but in today's poll, I'm asking the following question, which is as follows. As China looks set to respond to reciprocal tariffs, do you think there can be any winners in a trade war? Yes, 11% think there can be winners. 88% think no. 1% don't know. If you want to get your viewpoint across, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And joining me on the panel today, Andres Gallardo. Andres, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. And you were reading the papers there, and yes, it was Trump.
Womb.
Womb. So shall we talk about Jack Grealish then?
Jack Grealish and a lettuce. I mean, Liz Truss, bless her. I mean, she only crashed the UK economy. I mean, Trump seems to be going for crashing the world economy. Shall we? I mean, every day. Every day since he took power, you sort of flick on the news on the website in the morning, and he's done. You know, it's. I mean, I don't often feel sorry for Stephen Ritson, but morning, Stephen. But you have to think he goes to bed at night with his cup of Horlicks, you know, and is, you know, in bed tucked up with his teddy bear and his, you know, Enid Blyton's Guide to the Economy, and he must get up in the morning and go, good grief, because it's all changed overnight. We have no, as Donald Rumsfeld once famously said, there are no knowns. There are, and then there are unknown knowns or known unknowns or whatever, and we are definitely in known unknown territory when we're looking at Trump's tariffs on the world economy. Now. No, because the thing is...
In all fairness, Trump is doing what he said he was going to do. So in that sense, he's true to himself. So that's the positive side, if you like.
Trump 2.0. I mean, Trump, the first time round, we were like, okay, he's saying all these things, but he's the new kid on the block, and therefore he didn't actually know what he was doing, and it was all the chaotic bunch of people getting fired and going through, you know, press secretaries there very, very quickly. This time round, I mean,
well, he's got all the balance of power on his side, you know. He's got Congress, he's got Senate, he's got the judiciary, all under his control. So he can be bolder than he was in the first term. The reality is that, as I said, he's doing what he said he was going to do. Yeah. Nobody believed he would do what he said he was going to do because he's absolutely bonkers. And I cannot describe it any other way.
Before we go any further, I've got a bit of this, sorry.
Travel chaos!
Because apparently I'm getting some news in just quickly. If you're coming in to Marbella, there's a huge traffic because you're backing up all the way to La Cala. So if you're trying to get into Marbella, take the Piaje, the toll road. Thank you very much for that travel news. My apologies, Andres, and good morning to Stephen Ritson, who's actually showing me a picture of that for forewarned cup of Horlicks. Right then, so, as we were saying.
Yeah, the reality is doing what he said he was going to do. Nobody believed that he was going to do what he's doing because he's absolutely bonkers, as I said, and he's disrupting the whole world economy, all the trading patterns. He's upsetting everyone, creating a new age of protectionism in the economy, which we haven't seen really. Last time we saw something like that was in the 1930s, and look what that took us to. So historically, we know that protectionism hasn't worked. It didn't work in the 19th century when there were the first signs of, you know, sort of tried to do and consume what your country can produce. We cannot produce... we cannot be self-sufficient. No country in the world can be self-sufficient. That hence trade. And I think Trump hasn't understood that particular point. Having said that,
yeah,
he still enjoys quite a lot of support in his bases in America. Just to tell you that last Saturday I was having lunch with an American guy,
yep,
and his wife. The first thing I said, of course, me being me, I said, how's your mate doing? Referring myself to Trump. And they were really happy with the policies he was putting in place. They believed that the industry would have a revival in the United States, that a lot of investment would happen there, and the economy will thrive for Americans. And they truly, truly believed that. And I was surprised to see that despite all the comments from international renowned economists around the world saying this is the wrong route, still people, educated people, by the way, I mean, these people, they weren't mugs, there were people that, but they still truly believe in the promises that Trump has made, the American economy is going to be fantastic and it's going to grow and everyone is going to be much richer, when we are already seeing the signs that the whole thing is collapsing, not only in America, but all around the world. And do we deserve that? They say, and Trump is saying, that we deserve it because we have mistreated America over the years. But really, have we? If we look at the figures in terms of trade, you don't see that. I mean, in Spain, for instance, I always bring Spain to this to the equation because perhaps we are in Spain, but the trade is in favor of the United States. I know the European Union, which we're part of, is a different thing, but is punishing countries like Botswana. Botswana, all the export to the United States diamonds, but they cannot buy.
That's going to upset Melania, isn't it?
A lot of the products from the United States, because they don't consume it, and you have to take into account the economic power of the consumer in different countries, and of course there's going to be a difference, but that is because affordability in most cases. So I think he's got it certainly wrong. Everyone, it's not me saying it, by the way, Giles. I mean, leading economists around the world are advising.
But in the words of Michael Gove, I think that, you know, the world, everybody's getting pretty fed up with experts, quote unquote.
We need to get experts because obviously that's what they do. They can analyze the trading systems in the world, and certainly they know more than you and me, Giles.
Let's pull away from this a quick promotion, by the way. Next week I've got a real estate guru coming in from from Florida. He does this across America real estate program. He's coming to the show. He's going to be on the panel with you, Andres, and we'll talk about several things happening in the real estate business, both in the States and over here in Europe, and we can talk about Spain and everything like that. But this is going to have this uncertainty is going to have an effect on all our businesses, on all our investments, on our pensions, on our food prices. Oh, and the one thing that markets really hate is uncertainty, because as for all we know, Trump could get up tomorrow morning and have an epiphany, and that's not a cocktail tonight, and then go, good grief, I was wrong, and then he gets rid of all the tariffs, and then the following day, he could get up and go, actually, I've changed my mind again. With tariffs are back on, and this time they're 100%.
Just you hear the nail on the head? Is that the expression?
Yes, yes, indeed.
There are two words in economy. Economy is not an exact science. There are two words in economy that are very, very important. One is confidence, and the second one is uncertainty.
Yeah.
When there is confidence in the economy, the word describes what's going to happen. People will invest. People will take steps into, you know, sort of consuming, spending, and all of that. When there is uncertainty, which is what Trump has created, not in America, around the world. I mean, this is the whole point. It's around the world. What's happening is the nature of uncertainty is that it contracts the economy. People, if you were a businessman, Giles, and you wanted to set up a factory, would you now go to the United States to set up a factory today? Probably the answer is no, because you don't know. I mean, you might go there today, but you don't know what Trump is going to do tomorrow.
Well, not only that, if you're an investor, if I'm the CEO of Brown's Patent Widgets, right? Purveyor of the finest widgets known to man since 1873, and I want to make a major investment in any country in the world, I want to be able to say, okay, how much is it going to cost me to set this up? What's the projection? You know, what can I see my forecast being for widgets? Should I put it in the States? Should I put it in Vietnam? Do I put it in Pakistan? Where do I build my... And you have no idea at the moment what the economy is going to be doing. And you know, markets hate uncertainty, investors hate uncertainty, which is why we've seen the only thing that's doing well is the gold market, because traditionally everybody throws their money into gold or into government bonds, because we may see governments having to unleash borrowing to counter this hard hit we're going to take on the world economy.
Yeah, but I mean, investing in gold or government bonds doesn't make the economy grow, so it might be safe for someone to sort of hide some money away and be safe that way, but it doesn't make people invest and develop the growth like you should. The other day I was wondering, I thought, does Trump know something that we don't? Is Trump three streets ahead of the rest of the world?
Are you going to say all these four dimensions
and all these economies
game?
And all these, you know, people who spend their life analyzing the trade movements and everything else, but they don't know what Trump knows, because otherwise, I don't understand how can you sacrifice the economy of your country and your business partners to such extent.
And it's to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. I suppose you expected this one.
You were on my bingo card, to be honest, Peter, but yes, I would expect you to get involved.
Yeah, well, it stuns me, absolutely stuns me, the naivety and the lack of knowledge when people talk about what's going on at the moment. And that can only become... that is only because the lack of information coming from the media. You say about uncertainty. I'm guessing here, but you've probably not heard of a user's guide to restructuring the global trading system, though.
Obviously, this is my required bedtime reading, Peter. Go on.
Well, it should be. It should be, because you'll get a great understanding of what's going on at the moment. I've been saying for years about the global economy is broken, it's collapsed, and it needs fixing. And every 70-odd years, and we're well, well past that, there has to be some sort of system put in place where it all starts again. And this is what's happening. Maybe it's the Great Reset. I don't know. But you can go back to Frankenstein Island. You can go back to the Federal Reserves and how it all started and the global. And in my opinion, because no one can sit here and say Trump's right or wrong, because we don't know. And this is Thatcherism and Reaganomics on steroids. And we know exactly what he's trying to do, or at least I do, because I've read up on it. But the plan is out there. If you look up, I don't suppose you've heard of Stephen Miran, M-I-R-A-N, and you talk about experts, probably as economists go, is probably no one smarter than that man. And he's the man that wrote the article I just told you about, which is what they call the Project 25 or the Mar-a-Lago, the Mar-a-Lago Accord, which is the Plaza Accord 2.0. I don't suppose you've heard of the Plaza Accord either. The Plaza Accord of 1985, when they reset the dollar, when all the countries sat down, Japan and Germany and the UK sat down, and they decided that they needed to take the value of the dollar down. Now, as Trump keeps saying, the dollar is overvalued, so much overvalued, it's untrue. It's the world's default currency. Now, can you recall, how old are you, Giles? 60-something?
57, but in a good light.
57,
yeah,
okay. Well, I can recall, when I was talking about it the other day, $3 to the pound, and I was corrected, they called it the five-bob dollar, though apparently it was $4 to the pound. Five-bob would get you a dollar. Now, times change, but things don't. Now, the dollar is so overpriced, and Trump's trying to do something about it. Now, what he's going to do, first of all, as I said last week, you have the threat of tariffs. Now, as nobody seemed to know last week, it was reciprocal. Now, already today, Europe talking zero for zero today. That's how scared they are. Now, the world goes to zero tariffs. Zero tariffs. Now, what's happened? Since the Plaza Accord, America's GDP is like tripled, but they've lost 5 million manufacturing jobs, and they are in a deficit year after year after year. And as I pointed out last week, two countries, South Korea, Singapore, any country, India's doing it at the moment, China's doing it. If you continue to export and don't import much, you get rich. And Trump's sick and tired of it. The Americans are sick and tired of it. So what they're going to do is they're going to threat of tariffs, bring the tariffs to zero, right? If you don't bring it to zero, you don't get government USA protection. So what he's going to do now, his next step is to devalue the dollar. How does he do that? He goes to all these countries and says, you need to sell your dollars and you need to buy your own currency. This is Plaza Accord 2.0. Now, what he'll do is offer them that if they buy the currency, they'll have to sell their short bonds, their T-bills, because they all carry American dollars to buy stuff because the American dollar is so strong. So they carry at least 3 months. So he's going to make them sell their dollars. They're going to go into long treasury bills or bonds, maybe 100 years. He's going to crack the interest rates down, knock it over the head. Interest rates will plummet. The dollar will plummet at least 20%. These countries will have to start buying their own currencies. They will go up. The euro will go up. The yen will go up. The pound will go up against the dollar. And the dollar will be decreased by at least 20%. Then he will start the reshoring. You will bring your factories back to America and we will create jobs. That's what he's going to do. The dollar will be cheaper. They can then export. Now, I've had this discussion before during Brexit. Oh, are the pounds going down against the euro? Because it's their little holiday money to worry about. If your currency is cheap, then your products are cheap. So you can export cheaply. This is what America's trying to do. And the reason people don't buy American products, because it's so expensive. So this is what it is. So if I was anyone, read the articles I just said. Read about Stephen Miron, probably the best economist.
Stephen Moore or moment. Stephen Miron? Sorry, I'm just trying to...
Miron, M-I-R-A-N.
Right, okay.
Read the user's guide to restructuring the global trading system. And if you're in dollars, get out, because you're about to lose 20% of your money, minimum, right? And if you've got dollars, buy pounds, euros, and yens and wait, and then buy them back again. I'm not a financial advisor, but at the moment, if you read what's happening and see what's happening, it's no different. He wants done with the central banks, which I've been saying are corrupt for years. He knows they're corrupt. Central banks have to go. They manage the economy, so we only get boom and bust because they increase or decrease interest rates. That's what they keep doing. So get rid of the Federal Reserve. He's going to hammer interest rates are going to come down. Interest rates come down, people are going to want to buy more houses. Your property is going to boom. Jobs are going to go back to, well, not just America. But if you start exporting, if you start towing the line, this is the resetting of the global economy. It's not Trump throwing his toys out the pram. This is, he sat there. Now, I could be wrong because Alf says that he doesn't listen to advisors. So his biographer says. He is surrounded with the most intelligent, smartest people. He's obviously taken a lot of information in. But he's been saying this. Have you seen the viral videos of back in the 80s? He's been saying this since the 80s. It was with Japan. It's against with China. It's against India. And I'll give you another example. In America, anything gets exported into America or imported into America, anything under the value of $800 is not taxed. So these companies all around the world, American companies, there's 1,000 of them in Ireland because they just registered there. These companies, what they're doing is they're putting stuff at $800. They're ordering it from China. China send it into America, paying no taxes. $850 billion a year getting into America with zero taxes. That's your Temu and all these things. This garbage is coming in, that paying no taxes on it. He's going to reset the world's economy. Whether that works or whether it doesn't, we won't know. History will tell us.
Yeah.
So we'll have Trumponomics.
What happens if it? I mean, if it doesn't work, this is a big gamble, isn't it, Peter? I mean, if it doesn't work, we get civil unrest.
Well, you're only getting civil unrest because they hate Trump.
Or they hate the fact that they can't oppose. What happens if grocery prices go through the roof? I mean, what happens if people are trying to struggle to get their food, if we're having to grow our own vegetables? You see what I'm coming on this? Sorry, Peter, go on.
Go on, no, but you're going to the extremes and you sound like the BBC. I mean, it's going to have to play out. It could go wrong.
Yeah.
We could be Jimmy Carter stagflation on.
Just want to read out what Steve...
Something has to be done.
I found who you're talking about. This is his statement, okay? And thank you for pointing this out, Stephen Mirren. The best outcome is one in which America continues to create global peace and prosperity and remain the reserve provider, and that other countries not only participate in reaping the benefits, but they also participate in bearing the costs. By improving Biden sharing, we can enhance resilience and preserve the global security and trading systems for many decades into the future. It's all about sharing costs then, basically, this whole administration, be it NATO, be it whatever. It's all about America thinks they've been hard done by and screwed over by the rest of the world.
Which you have to admit they have been.
With NATO, they've carried more than their fair share. That I agree with you on that.
With everything, they've carried more than their fair share. They are a nation that has been. This is another thing that Trump's going to do. If you don't toe the line, if you don't go zero tariffs, he's going to pull. He will offer the way he's got to get these countries on board to do this, to revalue their currencies. See, back in the day, but in the Plaza Accord in 1985, you were able to negotiate with those countries because they were your allies and their friends. Now a lot of them are against Trump and they're globalists, so they're kicking back. So it's a question of who's going to win. Now, personally, me, before anyone phones in and says, I personally like this system. This is Reaganomics. This is Thatcherism. This is loads of money. We're all going to do all right, and the work's going to come in. This is what's going to happen. The globalist agenda hopefully will die on its ass. But what he's going to say to these countries is, if you don't toe the line, you won't get protection. This is this thing about NATO. He'll say to them, okay, you don't devalue your currency and you continue with the tariffs. You don't get American protection. You don't live under our umbrella anymore. There's no way we're going to send B-2 bombers to slaughter the Houthis all up the Straits of Hormuz just because Europe's trade is something like 20-odd% that goes up there. America's is 3%. Yet America are patrolling those waters. America are sending their ships out there. It's about time that the world woke up and realized that the big guy, the head honcho, if we all toe the line, is the wrong word, we can all get on and we know we've got protection from America. Because let's face it, without America, we don't have it. You know, what Putin and co are doing would be a drop in the bucket compared to what they do if Trump won around or America won around. So we need peace through strength. We need a working economy. We all worry about the climate and the global. So we got to stop shipping stuff around the world. And not only that, what I talked about, the minimus, what's it called? The minimus competitive thing, this $800 that goes in America. The only reason China can do that is because they got Uyghurs that are working for nothing. They got slave labor. That's why they can do that. And that's why they can do it in India. And that's why they can do it in some of these countries. So all your lefties, all these people that say, get rid of the slave labor and all that and protect the climate, he's doing it. That's what he wants to do. And as far as I'm concerned, and none of us, like I said, none of us going to know. This is something that, you know, our children are going to either benefit from or lose out from. Like I said, it could be Jimmy Carter's stagflation on steroids. It could be Reaganomics and Thatcherism on steroids. But he's certainly going for it. But this is the Mar-a-Lago Accord, Plaza Accords. Point two. Read what I've just used, Stephen Mirren's paper, and you'll know what's going on.
Peter, as always,
throwing his toys. This is a resetting of the world's economy.
Thank
okay?
you. Yeah, indeed, Peter. Thank you very much for your call in. Going
Thank
a quick
you.
Break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And this show is brought to you by St. James Global Private Clients. They're pleased to announce their expansion into Spain, specialists in providing and preserving global wealth with over 40 years' experience in helping clients enjoy their retirement and their lifestyle. For expert financial advice for Spanish tax residents and to maximize retirement income, contact St. James Global Private Clients at info@stjamesglobal.com. St. James Global, protecting your assets and growing your wealth. To the messages we go, and here are the ways to get in contact.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Okay, to the... Andreas is banging his head on the desk. No, okay. Stephen Laws, good morning to you, sir, who's written in on studio@tre.radio. Hi, how refreshing to hear someone that knows what he's talking about, as opposed to the usual criticism and Trump derangement syndrome, TDS, we get every day on here, and the even worse Ritson program. I'm sure that Stephen will reply to that in the manner to which it has been sent. Meanwhile, let's go back to... It is immoral for governments to borrow money now to make our lives better when we know that it is our children, in capitals, who will have to pay this money back, from Batson Paul from Minerva. Meanwhile, good morning. Okay. Trump is good for the news business. Well, he hasn't ended the Ukraine war. He hasn't ended the Gazan war. He certainly profited from ransacking the government. It's time to dump the Americans. That's a T-shirt and a half. There's nothing they produce that can't be sourced elsewhere, and no firms are going to come to the US in the short term, regardless of what Donnie thinks, unless the US is happy to absorb much higher costs due to higher labor costs and the cost of building a new factory. It's the idea that they're going to suddenly, all these old sort of, like a Transformers movie, all these old robots will suddenly start moving again. It's a cult, like a TV station evangelical religion. Gold's been down for the past 3 or 4 days, but back up to $3,000 trillion Oz this morning. Trump knows nothing. He makes up shot. Not the actual word. I can't say that. Restructuring the world economy like Lettuce Liz used to do. While the concept has gained attention in financial circles, its feasibility remains a subject of debate among economists and policymakers trying to make sense of Trump's decisions. It's been criticized as QAnon for tariffs. I like that. That's what Stephen Maron said. Peter can't complain about Temu not paying tax when the state's sales taxes are so low. With Donald Trump's tariffs policy, the news theory is making the rounds on Wall Street. Rogue Karma writes, the grand bargain that Trump is supposedly planning to strike has even been given a name, the Mar-a-Lago Accord. So Peter expects to move production to the US for Uyghur-made goods for the same price. The group's ISP that came on the line could be heard all over Europe. Thank you very much for that one. Right, okay, now, another Peter. You've asked me, as we start this show, what's my view on the ambulance massacre carried out by the IDF? Thank you. But, okay, so no comment on my other point. I haven't got round to that yet. Otherwise, I'm bouncing around like a pinball more on caffeine more than usual. But it's been shown Donnie's worked his tariffs out wrong. Also, if you look at what's occurring in the attempted 1930s business coup has... Oh, sorry. Taken place. Dollars per troy ounce. Thank you. Good morning. This is an. I'm very sorry, Margaret. She says, signal in Torex is a little bit better. I can hear you with a Spanish station in the background and my aerial extended fully across the kitchen. That's what I call determination. That's a hardcore listener. Thank you, Margaret and Torex. The boffins are on the case. Right then. Any thoughts? Let me just check my emails. Any thoughts, on the various points that Peter made and his arguments there? The latest, by the way, on the poll, as China looks set to respond with reciprocal tariffs, do you think they can be winners of a tariff war? 8% of you say yes. 91% of you say no. 1% don't know. What do you think?
Well, your caller is John, isn't he? Peter, sorry.
Okay, excuse me.
He made a number of points. One of the things that I've noticed is that he is looking at what's going to happen from here and in the future, and it's difficult to predict. All we can comment on is, in real terms, is the picture of today, and how governments around the world are reacting to the tariffs, what's doing to the prices of goods being traded, how is that affecting inflation, how that inflation will sort of have an influence on what happens with interest rates. I mean, Peter was saying interest rates will going to come down. Well, they won't come down if we have a high inflation. Also, he is thinking that the dollar should lose so much value that manufacturing in the United States is going to be the way forward. Some of these things, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not going to happen. They could well happen. I can't see it. And the good thing about programs like these is that you can sort of have a different view of what's going to happen. The reality, I don't know what's going to happen. I have an idea or a personal opinion on what's going to happen, but the picture today is the stock markets have lost a lot of value. The dollar has lost a little bit of value, but marginally, so little this noticeable. The pound has had a big hit, and the euro has had a big hit. So, or bigger hits than the dollar. So, all of the things what he's done is put the world into turmoil. And going back to what we were saying earlier, it's created uncertainty. Uncertainty is in the short term is going to be bad for the economies around the world. And another thing that is created that I don't think is going to be a good thing for the United States is that countries are looking for different markets to flog their products. We have got Pedro Sanchez in China today, representing the European Union. Apparently, he's got a good relationship with Chinese guy. So they're looking at different markets. I mean, some projections say that we're going to find alternative markets very, very quickly. I doubt that. I doubt that because what they consume in different parts of the world is not the same as what is consumed in the American market. But nevertheless, it's creating or pushing governments and businesses to look for alternative routes that don't go through the United States. And all this is happening today. What Peter is projecting for the future, and his economist of choice is predicting what's happening in the future, we'll have to wait and see. He may be absolutely right in that he's got hit the head on the nail with all his predictions. I can't see it personally, but I hope I'm wrong and growth and prosperity flourishes around the world. I can't see it today.
952-784-1000 is the phone number. A few bits and pieces coming in. Have you filled your pantry? No. Why? Because grocery is such an old-fashioned word. Excuse my French, but we're all mucked, not the actual word. And when I say we all, I mean we common people, not billionaires. Thank you from Roman. Looking at if tariffs are so bad on the US, why does the rest of the world impose them on the US? People are sending me a lot of pictures of penguins. Thank you for that. Because of the United tariffs on the two islands that haven't been visited by humans in 10 years. I think they're 6 hours away from Australia or something, or 6 days, and they're just full of penguins. But they got on the list of tariffs coming down.
The penguins are being punished there.
Yeah, so...
So they should.
Yeah. Nike shifted production from China to Vietnam to sidestep tariffs and to get hit by new, bigger ones. Oof. I mean, Vietnam... I mean, there was this sort of... Wasn't it on that list of tariffs? Did you see him when he presented with the board?
I thought it was a fishmonger showing the price, the prices of the fish of the day. That was so ridiculous. I haven't seen anything so pathetic in many levels. One of them, presentation itself. You know, I mean, you've got the president of the United States holding a board with these, announcing these tariffs going one by one, and also the figures that were there. I was puzzled by those figures. Where did he get them from? Because they are not real figures. You know, I mean, he's created an equation to tell us how much of the United States are being punished, when those figures are nowhere near to what the trading figures are. He's quoting the European Union at 39%. Where does he get that from? I know where he gets it from. He's created his own formula to come to that figure to show the American people, look what they're doing to us, when in reality that's not the truth. Look, since the Marshall Plan in Europe, we've been in the hands of the United States for many, many things, for investments, for products, for all sorts of things. So he can't say that he's had it bad for decades, as he said on TV the other day. He hasn't had it bad for decades. They've taken advantage of their powerful position. And we have accepted that.
Going to the lines again, we've got a caller coming in on this one. 952-784-1000. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, Peter.
Yeah, Peter.
Yeah, just to make another quick point, because your guest, sorry, I forgot his name.
Andreas,
when you talk about inflation, one of the biggest drivers of inflation is oil. You'd probably agree with me on that. I didn't say all of them. I said one of the driving factors.
Yeah, the price of energy, yes.
Yes, energy. Now, you said that the stock market's crashing around the world. Last night in the Asian markets, I think the Nikkei is up by 7%. So it's starting to come back because it was temporary. Now, the reason it's coming back is because already Europe are talking about zero tariffs. But going back to oil, oil is down in the last 3 months, about 21, 22%. Now, we have conflict around the world. We have saber-rattling with China. We have the conflict in Russia and Ukraine. We have the Israel problem, and we have the Houthi problem and the B-2 bombers going out there. So all this conflict around the world at the moment, and yet oil was tumbling. Oil is tumbling. Now, if oil goes down, as I've said before, when all people screaming during COVID that these oil companies should pay more taxes, and $60 a barrel, it's difficult to make profit once it goes below $60 a barrel. The countries that will make money are the advanced countries. Now, already, Saudi have stepped up to the plate and said, we're going to produce more oil. They're going to start pumping and pumping because certain countries are not adhering to the rules and regulations of OPEC, i.e. Iran and Russia are pumping more oil. So when Saudi start pumping, oil is going to go down. If it goes down below $60 a barrel, which we're about 62, 63, I think, at the moment, then Iran and places like that are going to struggle to make money. Now, he's negotiating with Iran at the moment. Again, very smart move, because Iran won't be able to sell their oil. They won't be able to get it out of the ground at a profit, so they'll be losing money hand over fist. And when oil comes down, inflation comes down. So we don't know, and we've all had inflation. I mean, not only that, inflation, there's a lag in inflation. So whatever you do today, it's normally 18 months down the line before we see the result of that, whether you raise or lower interest rates. There's an 18-month lag, give or take. So if we do move into deflation or inflation now, it's what was implemented 18 months ago. Trump can't just turn out the lights like that on the economy. It just doesn't happen. You can't get inflation overnight. It has to. And also, like Jaguar Land Rover and companies like that, saying they're not sending their cars out. They've got enough cars out there to sell for 3 years. That's why they're doing it, because they're waiting for this to settle down, and then they'll decide what to do on prices. So we don't know if inflation is coming. But also, I think Trump can use inflation to his advantage. Now, no president has ever, I think maybe one, I can't recall who it was, but I don't think any president gets re-elected after inflation when the economy's damaged. But Trump can't be re-elected unless he changes his constitution, or unless he backdoors it by running J.D. Vance and him as his running mate, and then J.D. Vance quits and he becomes president again. So they can do it that way. But your worries of inflation,
if we do get inflation imminently, then it's from 18 months ago. It's the policies of Biden or the rest of the world. So, you know, what you're doing is you're panicking today and you're not even sitting down and thinking it through. So, the world, as I said, the world's economy's got to change. It's got to change. Thanks. Globalism didn't work.
Thanks very much for your call in there, Peter. Go ahead, pick break, and then we're back into the last 3 minutes or so of this morning's Viewpoint, the first half.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Now then, a few bits and pieces coming in. If you want to get involved, get your viewpoint across. These are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Quick look at what the poll's doing at the moment on Talk Radio Europe Official. Do you think there can be any winners in a trade deal? 12% yes, 87% no, 1%, which apparently is just the algorithm, according to my sources, say that they can they don't know if there are going to be any winners or not. Pedro Sanchez is a total hypocrite. Pedro Sanchez, he's not a yes, thank you, he's just a hippo. He lectures everyone about human rights and cozies up to China with the worst human rights record in the world, which routinely tortures and murders its minorities, just like Hitler did. Thank you very much, Paul Minilva. Now, 2 minutes before we hit the news. Andreas.
Just very quickly to comment on what Peter just said. Now, I don't know where he gets this time frame of 18 months for inflation to hit. When we have seen a number of inflationary things happening very, very quickly. When the supply chain collapsed around the world, we saw the price of cars going up very, very quickly. When we saw during COVID, when all that money from Europe went on to help countries towards that. And I remember at the time saying that is a recipe for inflation, and it happened very, very quickly again. So I don't know why Peter thinks that there is a time frame where inflation starts growing, when we have seen in recent years it can happen very, very quickly, and the only recipe for tackling inflation, unfortunately, the only recipe we have is to put interest rates up, and that's what happened then, contained inflation. If it happens again, then the idea of interest rates going down, as Peter projected to happen in the future, may not happen as he's predicting. But again, we are talking of what is going to happen in the future, and we don't know, and I insist what we have is the picture today, and that doesn't look good.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Just a few more comments before we go to the news. 18 months ago, so everything happening now is Biden's fault, is it? Markets aren't up because of inflation. It's because of the hope that the market could stabilise as Bessent will lead trade talks with Tokyo, a sign that Donny is open to negotiation on tariffs. Apparently I need to squash disseminating information from Muppets. Who was your favourite Muppet, by the way? Was it Kermit, Gonzo, Fuzzy Bear?
Yeah, Kermit. Animal. Was good.
All right, fair enough. Right then. Swedish chef. Hoodie booty. Right then. Coming out to the international news at the top of the hour, then we're going to be back with a little more. I know you can hardly take it. A little more viewpoints. That's coming up in the second hour. But first we go to London for the international news and then catch up with Bob with the national news. Back with more viewpoints after this.
Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain. Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Welcome back to the second half of Viewpoint with me, Giles Byrne, joined in the studio by Andres Gallardo, with you for the next 55 minutes or so. Don't forget, following me will be Stephen Ritson. It's to the lines we go straight away, off the blocks like Usain Bolt. Morning, Corley, alive on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles.
Morning, Alf.
Spoiler alert.
What? Go on.
Morning, Andreas.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Fine, as it happens, yeah.
Right. Please don't start with the word the letter F. It puts the fear of God into me when I've got no delay on the show, but there you go. Right then.
Well, it's very interesting. I love Peter, you know, saying all this stuff, because the difference is, and I think Andreas was trying to say it, but he's probably not as blunt as me. Peter comes out of all this stuff, but it's not necessarily the only view. He may think, you know, it's the only opinion in the world that counts, but there are other opinions, and I can't imagine for a moment that the rest of the world are going to sit back and just let Trump roll on the way he wants. I think there will be other pressures that will be applied in different ways for different reasons, and that will define what happens in the future. So I don't think all that, you know. And yes, he is right. Of course, Trump needs to break what was there in order to impose what he wants, because that's, in my humble opinion, is the sort of person he is. When I was at school, they were called bullies, and I don't think he's anything less than a bully. And for Peter's sake, please listen when people say things. Alf never said, and never has said, that Trump doesn't listen to his advisers. What Alf said was that, listening to the television, one of Trump's previous senior advisers said that he wasn't listening to his advisers. It's slightly different from Alf Brewer, who's not an expert in anything other than breathing in and out. It's just not true what people say. So please listen to what was said. And if you don't believe that the world as it is, I mean, I have been around a long time, and longer than you, Giles. And I remember talking to one of my Labour Party colleagues who was struggling. Because in order to get a job, to retain a job, to move to a job, remember Tebbit, get on your bike and go, what a pile of rubbish. In order for that guy to do that, he had to sell the house he lived in East London.
Yeah, sorry, before you said get on his bike and go, I had the visions of like that sort of Easy Rider. It was my father, when he couldn't find a job, he got on his bike and he looked for a job at the Conservative Party conference. And all the blue rinses went wild and started throwing
their own work. Absolutely, and that's not a problem. Lots of people did it, but the guy who I was with was stuck. He had a family, you know, he was married, two kids, in a house that he was buying in East London, to try and sell a house when the housing market had collapsed in southern England, to then move to the Midlands for a job that he could get, was just beyond his wildest imaginations. You know, the guy ended up going from a private house into rented accommodation, a massive hit in his pay and everything. That's what happened under Thatcherism. And it didn't take, you know, as Andreas quite rightly said, it didn't take 18 months and 2 years and 3 years. You know, that came in, she said something, it happened almost immediately. So loads and loads of people. And who can forget when they imposed the council tax changes? And everybody ran away. It's just unbelievable that people such short memories. Oh, and the guy that rang in, which is always what I find very strange, starts slagging off Sanchez being a hypocrite because he's gone to China and this, that, and the other. He obviously didn't listen. Sanchez is in China representing the European Union. He's not there representing Spain. He obviously will talk on behalf of Spain privately and all that, but you can't slag him off because the European Union say we need to be in discussions, like most world leaders, with the leadership. Of course we hate what they're doing to the Uyghurs and what they do to their own people. We hate all of them. We hate what happens in a lot of Africa. We hate what happens in a lot of Southeast Asia. But, you know, we still have to trade. We still have to talk. We still have to do business with them. So to just, you know, I'm packing my suitcase up and going and I'm never talking to you again, isn't the way of the world. And Trump is teaching us that now. So, you know, don't slag off politicians for doing the job that we want them to do. Slag them off by all means when they do silly deals to stay in power, like I did with Sanchez. Why are you chucking silly stones from outside the greenhouse? Short for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Thanks very much for that. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 9967 95. Andreas.
Yeah. Just a little comment because I had this. I mentioned my American friend on Saturday defending Trump, and when we went on to manufacturing, he said, "Oh well, you're happy to consume goods from countries where perhaps they're exploiting the workers there and everything else." This is a subject that I've already formed an opinion because, of course, nobody wants to... Oh, I sound like bloody Keir Starmer there. You don't want to see people being exploited. I said about Keir Starmer because he constantly says nobody wants to see that, and I think it's a stupid expression, but I've just used it, so perhaps I'm stupid as he is. But anyway, going back to the point, of course, we all should expect workers' rights and minimum wages paid and everything else. But as a consumer in Europe, when I buy a T-shirt made in Vietnam, I don't want to be responsible for the employment laws of another country or the employment conditions of where it is made. It's just a fair deal. I go to the shop, I pay the money, I take my T-shirt, and that's $9.99. I don't want to have the responsibility of making sure the people who made a T-shirt are in good conditions and everything else. And I know that could be controversial. I think the same about recycling. You know, I buy the product, I consume it, and I throw it away. I don't want to be the person responsible for recycling that because I haven't made the product. So if you make the product, you think about the recycling before it comes to me. I'm just a consumer. So I just wanted to make that very, very quick point because it's come out on a couple of comments from Peter
the
before.
We've all become globalised. You know, we are now we're a global economy, like it or not. But, you know, we buy, you know, nothing is... I mean, my friend Patrick famously went and bought me with his tongue firmly in his cheek when he went to Washington. He bought me a Make America Great Again T-shirt, which was made in Honduras when I looked on the inside of it. So, yes, so therefore, I mean, when you talk about building cars or building whatever else, the parts come from all over the place. I mean, people have been banging on about iPhones.
Look at Airbus. It's a consortium of three countries, Great Britain, France and Spain. And they are, the different parts are made in different countries, and they're assembled in Toulouse in France. And, you know, Rolls-Royce in England produces the engines and all of that. It's all become like that, you know? A frictionless trade is what we are expecting and what we want. You know, a good liberal will tell you that. You know, the policies of protectionism and tariffs, they're not liberal policies, you know. I know you got a call, so
yeah, indeed.
I have to shut up.
To the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
All right, me again, John.
Oh, you again. That's a very world weary sigh there, Peter.
Well, when you get Alf coming on banging about
banging on about Thatcherism and pointing out all the bad bits. There's good and bad in everything. And I'm not going to sit here and say she was fantastic. She'd done a good job of what she did. But she was a woman of the moment, a person of the moment, like Trump is. Now, whenever Alf goes on his anti-Thatcher rants, he always forgets that the reason she got into power was because we were coming off a three-day week. And the country, we were the sick man of Europe, and the country was broken. That's why she got into power and stayed into power for so long, because everybody started to earn good money, created jobs. And I left school in 76. She would come into power in 79. And as I said before, you know, we all remember the Harry Enfield, loads of money, the plasterers and the building that was going up. And Alf always goes on about the housing crisis and manages to get Igaron in East London in, which 99.9% of your viewers don't know nothing about. Now, as for housing crisis, as I've pointed out before to Alf, and he seems very embarrassed to talk about it, is he bought a property under Thatcher's massive discount. So he took a property out of the social housing, and then he sold it, maximum profit on the open market, bolted down to Spain, invested his money in Spain, then complains that he doesn't get his heating allowance or his pension. So that's the sort of people we have to listen to when they talk about anti-Thatcherism. Because I grew up under a Labour Party, and I can remember the three-day week. I can remember the shops in darkness. I can remember not being able to have any heating on at home. So that was why Thatcher came to power. And that's exactly why Trump is coming to power. Because the world is broken. It's not working. So whether you like it or lump it, then it needs changing. And that's why he's gathering so much strength.
Got some more.
Just quickly, I have never in all my lifetime sat down with people so often recently, and the first topic of conversation or the topic of conversation is the cost of living. Now, that didn't happen overnight. And as for what Andrea said, it was a unique thing, COVID. So supply dried up overnight, never as it happened before, and then money was printed. That's why we got inflation. And inflation is a result now in the last year of COVID 5 years ago. Nothing to do with Trump policy.
Right.
It's because of the supply and demand.
Loads of calls coming in. So it's interesting.
Yeah, no, what I was trying to say with inflation, it can happen overnight, and it did happen overnight, and we still haven't seen the effects of the Trump policies on inflation yet, but we will soon see it. We're not going to have to wait 18 months, as you said before, to see the result on the inflation.
More calls coming in. Morning, caller. Thanks for holding. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Felix, sir.
Morning, Felix.
Good morning. I would like to say something about Peter, because I like him because he always gives his sources, which he did when he came on first. And so discussion can begin that is based on something real. However, I dislike personalization of stuff taking place, and the first thing that Alf said was Peter coming out with all this stuff, very, very sarcastic, Peter coming out with all this stuff, which set the wrong tone immediately. And I think that my own view is that the issue of Ukraine is quite a central issue, because when Biden was in charge, there was a real danger of nuclear war. The NATO was geared up against Russia. All sorts of arms were piled into Ukraine to fight the Russians. Russia was being made into a bad, the evil thing on the earth, and so on. And it was heading, in my opinion, to nuclear war, which could happen very quickly, even by accident. And one of the things, I don't want to talk much about Trump here, but one of the things that was obvious to me that Trump did was he talked to President Putin. So the president of one continent was talking to the president of another continent. And Biden had boasted that in the 3 years that he was in power, that he had never spoken to Trump or to Putin one time, not once, no communication whatsoever. And that And what Trump did was there was a release valve there for nuclear war, against nuclear war. And I like to give him credit to that. Now, on the question of Ukraine, a man here said that there was a stalemate tin. And there was no stalemate in Ukraine at any time. Russia was in the ascendancy. And just after he spoke, about 4 weeks ago, Russia took control of the part that I forget the name of it, the part that Ukraine had moved in on.
Right. Okay.
I'm taking position. What's the name of that? Kursk.
Yeah.
Kursk. He took. So Russia actually managed to expel them from Kursk, and so that was a big lie that was put forward here by Tim on your program. He said there was a stalemate. There was no stalemate. There was no stalemate. Russia is in the ascendancy.
Okay.
It has control. If it was left to a border dispute between Ukraine and Russia, then there would have been a solution in April 2002, about 6 weeks after Russia moved in. About 6 weeks after, all those millions of people, at least a million people killed, would not have been killed, because the Ukrainian side, in those discussions that took place in April 2022, if the Ukrainian side had initialed it, Putin had initialed it, there was an agreement. And then the EU... Don't talk to me about the EU, please.
Okay. But we weren't talking about this at all. And you just came onto the thing and said that you don't like being personal. Go on.
Let's move off Ukraine. The issue that's really being discussed here,
yes,
in the world, is issues that we know about. It's the issue of energy, how we move things about, how we grow things, the use of fossil fuels in creating energy. The fact that we now are able to make energy by using solar panels cheaper than we can extract the oil from the ground. So we have a solution for global warming. We have a solution.
Right.
Okay. The other thing is, with all of this discussion about issues, with people coming on and talking, they leave out the part that they know about, which is, for me, Ireland, for you, in the studio, UK, and the issue of Starmer at the present time, and how he has promoted war with Russia. He talks about nothing else but war with Russia. That's all I want to say.
Thank you very much, Felix. A broad of subjects covered there. I'm going to take a quick breath, and then back with more viewpoints.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Just to let you know, St. James Global Private Clients pleased to announce their expansion to Spain, specialists in providing and preserving global wealth. Their 40 years experience helping clients enjoy their retirement and lifestyle. For expert financial advice for Spanish tax residents and to maximize retirement income, contact St. James Global Private Clients at info@stjamesglobal.com. St. James Global, protecting your assets and growing your wealth. To the poll we go, just to see what the polls are saying. So Cookie Monster is the favorite Muppet. Thank you. Thank you, Cookie. Looking at the poll at the moment, that's my Inspector Clouseau voice. Do we think that there can be any victors in a trade war? 16% say yes, 83% say no, and 1% allegedly doesn't know. To the lines we go one more time. Yes, Alf.
Yeah, I don't intend to personalise things.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I just like the way that people said, I don't like people personalising things, but Tim said the other week, and it's like okay. Yes. Morning, Tim, by the way. Well, I hope you're, yes. All right, come on, Alf.
So, I apologise to Felix or anybody else who thought I was demeaning what Peter was saying, you know, I quite clearly said, I enjoy listening to what Peter says, but I don't. It doesn't mean I have to agree with everything he says, and there are plenty of more, you know, options and opinions out there to listen to. But again, Peter, please listen to what he said. I have never, ever said that I bought a house under the Thatcher system. Yeah, if you want to know my life history, by all means, I'll write it down for you. I did buy my council house, but it wasn't under Thatcher. It was under Newham Council, one of the London dying boroughs, because the only people left in the boroughs were old people, because youngsters had been driven out of London to Essex, to Kent, to Hertfordshire, to wherever they were driven out of London, and you ended up with piles of elderly people in London who needed more services given from less money coming in, because they all had, you know, whatever they get, council tax discounts and whatever. So the council introduced the scheme, and it did operate in a number of other places. It was called a young married couple scheme. So it was nothing to do with Thatcher or buying your own council thing. And there's an option. They let you live in a council house for 5 years, paying rent and putting savings away in order to afford a deposit on a property. And at the end of the 5 years, you were given a choice. You could either stay in the property that you'd lived in for that amount of time and buy it, or you had to get out and they would rehouse you into another council property.
All right.
And I chose to stay in the property I was in. But it wasn't out of choice. I mean, I didn't have two bob to my name, and two apronies to rub together, three kids, all of that applied. And I didn't then sell it to move to Spain. I stopped working at the age of 55, not 65 or 70 or whatever age they work till now. And I chose to do that off the back of me making savings through my life in order, because we couldn't stand living in the UK anymore. And not because of the people. I love London. I love the UK. But the weather is awful. I mean, not that we've had it much better here for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
With all the rain. But so please, stop me. When people ring in and they want a quote, stop misquoting. Stop telling porky pies. You're sounding like Trump. He tells porky pies because it sounds good. And then he has to recover it. But he never says, oh, sorry, I told a porky pie there, I'd better correct it. He just goes on as if, oh, well. You know, I've had to think about what I've said. And I'll say it again. Trump's top advisor when he was president first time round was on television, and he said Trump doesn't listen to his advisors. I don't know who he's listening to now, and I'm not sure if there's a bank of advisors, but everybody's getting the ump with Musk and how much Elon Musk and how much influence he's having on what's happening in the States. So much so they've fallen out. Doesn't look like he's going to be around for long, does it? Because Trump's given up on him. But, you know, so everybody's entitled to their opinion, and not everybody can be right.
Of course, don't take it too... Don't take it too much to heart, Alf. You know, everyone has their opinions, and we have to listen to everyone. So don't worry too much about it. I do take it to heart because
it's my opinion. It's my opinion.
Of course it's your
opinion. It's not somebody else's opinion. And if I say that's my opinion, that's my opinion.
But
I lived all my life in politics. You want to change somebody's opinion,
just to tell you, whether you benefit from the Thatcher right to buy council houses or not, it's irrelevant, your own personal story. That move from Thatcher was genius.
Right. Okay. And so lots of prisoners could buy their own cells as well.
Absolutely.
All right, Alf, got another caller coming in. Thanks very much. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, it's Jason.
Hello, Jason.
So I don't waste my time with a personal comment upsetting people. I don't waste my time with that when you can upset everybody with one statement, which is
that
I believe the human race is a failed species, right?
What?
And I'll tell you why. Because unlike all the rest of nature, we expose our young to the psychological trauma of war, and adults seem to think the solution is more war and aggressive posturing, but they're not really thinking of the future or the children. War like in Ukraine and like in Israel, has a dramatic psychological negative effect on the children. So this is why adults should start behaving more like children themselves and find a peaceful solution. The other point we're a failed species is while we're busy fighting ourselves, while the climate and the world is falling around at our knees, what we should be doing, of course, is working together to prevent a looming, catastrophic, definite climate crisis which will affect our children in the future. We are a failed species because we're selfish, short-sighted, politicians posture from a safe distance, smoking big cigars in a bloody back room somewhere, right, while people are on battlefields and civilians suffer. But they're, well, I can't swear, can I? But don't have expletives strong enough for them. But the point is, politicians only care about short-term politics, about themselves, getting re-elected, dress things up in fancy words. You can justify anything with BS, can't you? Right? What we should be doing is dealing with a real present danger that does not discriminate borders, Russian, Ukrainian, Israel. That is going to affect us all, which is this planet. And on top of, do you realise, Giles, we've got 20,000 tonnes of junk floating around in our atmosphere because we want to explore space. We want to spend trillions terraforming Mars when that money would be better spent sorting the SH1T out on this planet. That's all I want to say.
Thank you very much for your call in there. Yes, well, we certainly got the, we finally got this full set today. Right then, if you want to get involved with, good morning to Claudia. So this is the Alf and Peter show. There's a thought. That would be the breakfast show you could tune into in the morning. You know, morning coffee with that. I mean, figure, you know, Alf and Peter. Live from TRE. I'm going to hit this button and see what happens.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Yes, indeed. Joining the studio by Andres Gallardo, of course. Just to let you know, following me, will be Stephen Ritson, who is limbering up in the wings. Selena's show, which is, of course, a lifestyle show this afternoon. She's live from 2 till 4 at 3:05. She's speaking to Jessica Mershon, who, will be giving us a recipe for cottage cheese toast. Now, that sounds, in a world gone crazy, I think the tariffs on cottage cheese toast should be investigated anyway. That's happening as well. And also, she's talking about bread. It's a very foodie show, bread and milk, as opposed to bread and roses, which was the transport and general workers pub I used to work in. Anyway, moving swiftly onwards. Jenny Wood joins Hannah for TR in the afternoon. She'll be talking about wild courage. Go after what you want and get it. So there you go. And Franny Katz, joins her, careful how you say it. And on 25:26, she'll be talking about gorillas in our midst. A zookeeper's tale of hand-rearing baby gorillas. I tell you, after doing Viewpoint in the second hour, I could hand-rear baby gorillas myself. And then before Harold Brereton joins us... live. No, in fact, I got the wrong day. Excuse me. Excuse me. It's Tuesday. I'm completely fried. Hannah will be, sorry, so start again. Selena will be speaking to Ruth Franklin, who'll be talking about Anne Frank. And then, she'll be chatting to Robin David Nicholson about the Cannon Hall Farm. And then, Hannah's guests include Charlotte Rodriguez from the World of Wine, which I think we'll all bloody well need. And then she'll chat to Daniel Gray about Sundays and how they've changed over time before Alan Moore joins Hannah about the ups, downs and not so funny life in, rural France, which I spoke to him about that. A couple of months ago, so there you go. Before this show is repeated at 7 o'clock, and Harry Brereton in the meantime will be with us from 6 until 7. 9527 84000 is the phone number. To the lines we go, one more time, because hey, you throw the dice on the casino that is TRE, and you get this one. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE.
Good morning, Felix. Sir, good morning.
It's Felix.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Felix.
At least we can have truth on this program. I actually wrote down what Alf said when he came on the program, and I'll repeat again. Peter comes out with all this stuff. Now, that is an obvious put-down. You don't talk about people coming out with all this stuff if you're not trying to put somebody down.
All right.
And I began by pointing out that Peter uses a different method.
Yes.
Because he gave us some sources for us to follow up on. By the way, Giles.
Yes, Felix.
What is the name of this person who is coming on next week?
I will supply that by the end of the show, Felix. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Now, second put down I want to deal with. You said that. My taking of Tim on his conviction that there was a stalemate existing in Ukraine.
Right.
That my taking up of that was a put down by me. You were trying to be funny, but it wasn't funny because it's a real issue. There are a lot of people who think that there's a stalemate in Ukraine and that Ukraine have got the opportunity, the possibility of defeating Russia. It has no opportunity of defeating Russia.
Okay.
Russia is in control of the war in Ukraine.
Okay.
The only way that they can actually defeat Russia is by means of getting NATO on the ground in Ukraine, which is really what Starmer and Macron were trying to do with this talk about an immediate ceasefire. I know you don't want to hear this because you don't want to hear stuff about Ukraine and you don't want to hear the possibility of nuclear war coming out of Ukraine. But that is a real possibility.
And yes, okay, Felix.
Bye.
Yes.
He said bye.
Did he say bye? Okay, and I think he said bye.
I think he said bye.
Okay. Let's, please, guys, ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, and whatever our show is identifying as today, can we please not make it, he said that, they said that, they said that, okay? Let's try and keep it on topic so that we can go somewhere. Otherwise, we just go, the first hour was interesting and insightful. The second hour, it made me think either all my meds are either taking effect or they've worn off. You know, I don't drink, but blimey, O'Reilly, in the next 15 minutes, you're going to have to hold me back from the tequila. So,
I was just going to say, Margaret Thatcher said...
anyway, where were we?
I just wanted to... Just going back to the origins of the programme. Protectionism. This is my take on protectionism, which is what Trump is trying to do with the American economy.
Oh, goodness sake.
Yes, go off you go. Come on. Sorry, not you. I'm just getting.
People think of a rhino, you know, I just sit here and I just take stuff. You get noticeably impatient with Felix, but not with Peter. I'm sorry, I'm an equal employees hater then. You're all a bunch of stuff. Off you go. Come on, let's go.
But you hate everyone equally.
I'm leaving, that's bad enough.
Okay, bye, Giles. Anyway, while Giles has left the building, I will just tell you guys. There is an element of danger with protectionism. He's back.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't panic. I'm not doing the program on my own. When you rely only on your products and your production, you are taking away an element of competitiveness, which is what makes companies to innovate, for instance, and all of those things. So the fact of if we have a trade around the world and getting influences from different parts and assimilating some of the things that they're being done in different parts makes us better. To isolate our countries into what we can produce and what we can do, firstly, is impossible because we don't have everything that one country will need. So there's always going to be an element of trade. But if you sort of shut your borders in such a way, you're going to miss out on first competitiveness.
Yeah.
The fact that the consumer can benefit from competition by having better prices, and more importantly, innovation, research, and innovation for a lot of companies in all sectors of the economy. So that's why I think that the Trump protectionism of the economy is not going to be in the not so distant future a positive thing for America, and perhaps they might be left behind to those countries that continue to trade and continue to innovate and so on.
952-78-4000.
I'm glad that Giles is back at the building.
94
in control of the.
I've got a bunch of kittens. I got a bag of kittens that I take outside and I punch it hard after this show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the numbers to get in touch with us on TRE. Sorry about that, Julie. I just gave Julie a heart attack because she is the one who programs in all the what's coming up. And having read the wrong day, I just gave her an absolute cornery. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at TRE.radio is the whatever it is now. Where are we here? I'm just looking at my bits and pieces coming in at the moment of army wise. 9 minutes if you want to get your viewpoint across. Apple plans to send more iPhones to the US from India to offset high costs of tariffs, and that's apparently coming in. Looking at what else we've got coming in today. Saying that Mark Carney, what's this thing? What's coming in on the wires? We're going to be back after this.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
The Remix, a recap of the best interviews of the week.
Giving all foods their proper names rather than going, that's super healthy, that's rubbish, that's junk. Those words sets people up to think of food as an emotional thing, whereas actually at the most fundamental level, it's not emotional.
In the office, try to have a cup of coffee with a person that's furthest away from you in terms of thinking, in terms of background. You can learn something remarkably about that person, but at the same time, you'll also learn something about yourself.
Tune in Saturdays and Sundays from 2 p.m.
and help the public understand that these are not caricatures. You know, these are people with real problems trying to do what I think is a really important job, and so they are brutally effective. What they do is not illegal, but it can cause a lot of harm.
The Remix on TRE.
Yes, indeed. Catch up with these, most of the programs. You can catch up with most of the programs on TRE via the website, which is tre.radio. Andreas, should we go to the nuclear option? And you want to mention Meghan Markle?
It's been so controversial that I thought maybe we should be talking about Meghan Markle.
Can we just end on something apart from your favorite Muppet? You know,
I don't have favorite Muppets. I was never a great fan of the Muppets.
No.
When I was a child, like, I was in Spain, yeah, so all the Muppets have got Spanish names.
Yeah, okay.
Like La Gallina Papanata. Yeah. I don't know who. La Gallina Papanata.
Wasn't she a Venezuelan singer from the 70s?
She was a big, massive chicken. La Gallina Papanata.
Big Bird.
Big Bird.
Yes, okay. Yellow.
So I didn't know it was called Big Bird, the right. Yellow thing. It's right. Papanata.
Okay.
So that's why I'm not getting involved into the Muppets, because yeah. I'll get the name
wrong. What was Fuzzy Bear then? Was it Oloroso?
Sorry?
Who was Fuzzy Bear? Was it Oloroso? Oloroso or something?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kermit La Rana.
What was the frog?
Kermit La Rana.
La Rana.
Verde.
La Rana. Di Charachera or something like that. I can't get involved in that.
Okay, fair enough.
With all the Spanish names.
Swedish chef for me. Yeah. Always a Swedish chef.
Pretty so, weird. Yeah. And Meghan Markle.
Yes, right. So, go on.
No, I've got
okay,
to
just okay, fine. You just let you drop that one in there. You just say Meghan Markle just to sort of as a
just to lighten up the program.
Okay,
so
fine. Yeah,
your listeners don't argue with each other.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me if you can. +34645-1967-95 yes, indeed. Looking at some of the bits and pieces coming in, which they're not. So, okay, the poll is saying, can there be any winners or losers in a trade war? Yes, think 16% of you think yes. 83% think no. 1%, which is probably, I don't know, the thing. Let's say that they don't know. 9-5. People don't understand that we've been paying tariffs to everyone, but they haven't been paying to the US. This is long overdue. Even Obama and Pelosi called for this. Short memories on the left. Guaranteed, this is from John, guaranteed that the richest sold their stocks before it all crashed in order to buy back at a cheaper price. Who will own US companies? The richest is evidence that a massive scam that will end when the next president drops off all the international tariffs. Yes, indeed. I mean, do we think they're trying to short the economy? Right, okay. Maybe if they had made a habit of making good quality cars that last, you wouldn't have lost those jobs. You lost those jobs due to greed, not tariffs. Are some of the posts that we're getting an awful lot of pictures of Trump out playing golf, of course. Is it possible the whole calculation behind Trump's tariffs is that he thought no one would retaliate? He says that he needs to pick up a history book and look what happened in the 1930s. Yes.
Look, Giles. I mean, in the car business, for instance, when the Asian cars enter the market in Europe, for instance, they wanted to make their cars here in Europe to be sold around Europe. At the time, that was in the 80s and late 80s, and the Spain had only joined the European Union. But that was where manufacturing was the cheapest place to be able to manufacture in Europe. And the plants of these brands coming from Asia settled here. That's why the car industry in Spain is so big, because of that.
Yeah.
But they needed to be inside the European Union, and they chose Spain. But they didn't choose to go to produce the cars in Denmark because it was much more expensive. So they chose a country where labor was cheaper and they could get, you know, more return for their investment. That's a natural thing to do. Now, it's foolish to think that these companies are going to go to a place to produce the goods more expensively. They're constantly looking to produce the goods cheaper because there's a profit margin. And that is going to continue to be. I don't see why Trump cannot see it and people who support Trump cannot see it. Because what I cannot see myself is all these secondary, all this industry going to reinvest in America when they moved out years ago, because you're still going to have to pay a lot of money to produce goods in America. And if you're not ready to pay $10,000 for your iPhone, so better that these items are made in China.
952-78-4000.
Spanish fishers in Galicia in the northwest are reporting what they're calling catastrophic collapse in shellfish stocks. They say some stocks have fallen by as much as 90% in the space of a few years. In 2023, the crop of cockles fell by 80% compared to the previous year.
Stephen Ritson.
What do they think is behind this? Climate change is the culprit, thanks in part to recent torrential rains that have reduced the salinity of the rías. Adds fresh water, less salt water in that area. The mussels need the salt water, not the fresh water.
Right, gone.
Europe Today.
Weekdays from midday.
There you go. Just yet another example of probably to do with climate change. Yeah, probably.
Europe Today, brought to you by Castle Rock International Law and Investments. Enjoy financial freedom with the Equity Release Programme for over 65s. As advertised in the Euro Weekly News.
In a world where language matters, Daybreak is a must listen.
What is brown sauce?
It's a condiment.
What is made of?
I don't know, actually.
That doesn't work.
Every day, I star in my own version of Lost in Translation, when I never know what Mari is going to teach me next.
Mea pila is, sorry for this, but is someone who is weaned over a battery.
Did I hear you right just then?
Join me, Dave Hodgson, on Daybreak, Mondays to Fridays from 8 a.m. here on TRE.
For relaxing times, make it Suntory time.
Cut-to!
Daybreak is sponsored by High Zero F500, the bionic mop. It sweeps, it mops, it dries. HighZero.es. Use the discount code TRE at checkout for free delivery.
Yes, indeed, right, almost out of time. Now, the poll as follows. As China looks set to respond to reciprocal tariffs, do you think there can be any winners in trade war? The final was yes, 21% think can. 78% think there can't be any winners in a trade war, and 1% don't know. Andreas, thank you for your kind words today.
The don't know hasn't moved from the beginning in 2 hours. The don't know hasn't
don't
moved
know.
From 1%.
The 1%ers.
I am disappointed. I want more don't knows. Come on, guys.
More don't knows.
Save don't know just to please me for
exactly.
A day.
Right then. This show will be repeated at 7. I'm back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.